Welcome back to another end-of-the-year edition of The Cursed Checkpoint from HorribleNight.com. I'm Justin Lacey. It is Thursday night, December 19th, 2013, coming at you live on Twitch.tv/HorribleNight. Here to get caught up with one Justin Gifford, see where his head's at heading into the games of the year. But before that, how the hell has life been treating you, Mr. Gifford?
Well, so you work in tech, and I have no idea if this is similar with you guys, but our end of the year is crazy because we're trying to get all of our deals and everything done. And since I write all of our contracts,
yeah, see where that's going.
I walked out of the office with, this is going to be worthless if you're not watching this tomorrow, but I walked out of the office the other day with this expression on my face. So, yeah, it's been crazy, but, good.
People that actually, you know, want to read stuff on HorribleNight.com may have noticed, I've been incredibly busy the last couple weeks, and it's kind of affected the site content. Apologize for that. But we're also kind of just winding up things, but yeah, my end of the year is usually pretty nuts, but things kind of lighten up here in January, February. But as that all that work stuff, have you been able to vent with, watching some movies, some reading, taking in some media of any other kind other than the game variety?
Yeah, definitely. A friend of mine had just done a giant stream of Battlestar Galactica, which I had never watched. I'd watched like two episodes when it was still on TV and hadn't been a real big fan. It was pretty dark. And I wasn't crazy about it. And then I was like, okay, you know what? I'll give it a shot. And I started watching it. The acting is really good. They do some kind of fun stuff talking about governance, and the story's fun. I think that they really should have had like a writing credit for the Old Testament because good Lord, like, it's the entire Old Testament. Just you just ripped it off and put it in space. but yeah, that I'm finally caught up on Grimm, which I'm a big fan of, which is sort of in line with. I know you're watching Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow, yeah. I wondered how many of these shows network TV can support, but I can definitely understand like the. I don't know necessarily why Sleepy Hollow hit home for me and Grimm missed, but I can totally, you know, if you get it, it's good fun TV.
Yeah, and then let's see. Other than that, haven't really been really watching a lot of movies. I watched Man of Steel the other day.
I forget.
Enjoyed it.
You're a Superman fan, yeah?
Yeah, I'm a Superman fan. Yeah. I mean, not versus Batman, but versus anybody else.
Okay.
It's sort of like Purdue. I like them as long as you're not playing IU. So, yeah, I enjoyed that. And then I sort of had the realization on, I don't know, Sunday night or something. I had a bunch of DVR'd stuff, and I got to watch Arrow back-to-back with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I was like, holy crap, I'm watching two well-done, strongly-backed, popular shows, and they're both comic book shows. This is awesome.
I've heard good things about Arrow, watched a couple of the episodes, liked it, but need to dive a bit deeper. But yeah, I fell off of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and has it gotten better? Is it about the same as it was and you just enjoy it, or
what would you say? Probably, I don't like it as well as Arrow, and it has nothing to do with the Marvel DC thing.
Sure.
It's a little goofy. Like, I enjoy it, but there's a level of sort of goofiness to it that I'm not crazy about that I don't really feel is present in the Marvel verse in the theater.
Okay.
Or it's at least tempered with some grittiness. This is, I like it, but there's kind of a goofy is the best way I can describe it.
Sure. No, I don't know. There's something about all the, you know, the network shows versus the cable shows I've been watching that, you know, I think do you watch Castle at all?
Castle is one of the shows I wish I watched. Okay.
But like,
because I like Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, sometimes I just like those network shows were kind of, you know, campy fun. Just like, Yeah. I don't know. We've been rewatching Dexter recently, and I just I love that show, but it's so self-serious, and like that kind of stuff just doesn't happen. Like, you need that balance of some of the, I don't know, the crappier network TV. So,
yeah.
I've been waiting for this for a while, but we just watched Blackfish. It's free on Netflix now.
Yeah, the orcas and SeaWorld and
the SeaWorld killer whale
helicopters and yeah.
And that was really interesting. Like, if I forget what was going on, but like shit, there's another news story. But anyway, my fiance and I were both talking about that movie to friends and kind of got getting accused of being tree huggers because we were essentially, you know, shut down SeaWorld, because it really does, you know, it paints a very
they hunt and separate the orcas from their pods with helicopters. It's not cool.
Yeah, and then it just goes into just like you know, how smart the killer whales are and how emotional they are, and it's just a really, really well done documentary, and you know, goes into some of the cover ups and the PR spin that SeaWorld has done, because the whole story centers around a singular incident where a trainer was killed by one of the whales, and then you kind of come to find out this whale's killed a couple different people, and this isn't like, and they still continue to kind of cover it up, and it's kind of disturbing as you get deeper and deeper into it, but also just a really, I don't know, intriguing watch. I went to SeaWorld probably when I was 8 or 10 years old, and they kind of mentioned towards the end of it that, you know, maybe 20, 30 years from now, we'll look back on things like SeaWorld as really barbaric, almost like, and they kind of, I want to say they drew a comparison to like gladiatorial combat, that type of thing, and it was just,
yeah,
it was kind of weird just to see also just, you know, SeaWorld at its peak in the 80s and 90s, just, you know, how much it was kind of caught up in those decades, and it does seem really out of date today, and I don't know, it just, it's a really interesting documentary, no matter where you kind of fall.
Well, I mean, they're 30-ton wolves. I mean, they kind of are. So, yeah, I have not seen it, but I've read a couple articles about it, and I definitely know which camp I come down on.
Sure.
So,
what else have we been watching? Been catching up on Dexter, and then everything. All the other shows they kind of wrapped up. So, getting really excited for Justified's coming back here in the next month or so. And then I need to find a couple more shows. It was kind of like, I forgot how heavy my fall rotation actually is. So,
have you seen any of the previews for Helix?
No, what's Helix?
On Sci-Fi? It's not real clear.
Okay.
it's clearly scary. I think there may be some sort of zombie-esque things to it, but they're doing genetic experiments and it's some lab under the ground. And now you pretty much know everything I know from the previews. Gotcha. But some of the early spots were really creepy, where it was just like this white lab room and like some guy in a clearly dead, but he's in like, you know, the level 5 hazmat suit. And that was pretty much it. There was just like a watch ticking, and then you see two eyes in the vent. So
interesting. I haven't been watching.
Yeah, it looks kind of cool.
I haven't been watching the sci-fi stuff. Did you get through Defiance, the show?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. I thought you were a fan of it.
Yeah, I like the show better than the game.
Okay. What are the games holding up these days? I saw its expansion on sale during the Steam sale, so
I didn't even realize there was an expansion. I mean, I gave it a solid go this summer.
Yeah.
But
Yep.
It was an MMO, and
3 years ago, really 3 years ago, it would have been awesome.
Yeah. So it was fine. It was okay.
That's kind of video game stuff. Before we get into what you've been playing and what kind of stood out to you this year, headlines of the industry, you and I tend to shoot articles back at least weekly, trying to find some sort of article fodder for you, and then me just shooting whatever else catches my attention. But as far as what's been kind of buzzing around the industry in the last month or so, what kind of stuck out to you?
Oh, man. I have to pull this one up on my phone because I pulled it up earlier. But okay, so I got Battlefield 4, and I've been playing it with some success. And I was trying to figure out what the hell the problem was with, you know, it was like booting me out of the game. I had some stability problems, and I was having trouble connecting to servers. And, you know, this is supposed to be like EA's answer to Modern Warfare. And it just was not, it's not been a great experience. And then I start looking this up, and EA, somebody's going to, they're trying to get certified as a class to sue EA for their executives dumping off a bunch of their stock right before the game was released.
Seriously?
It was broken.
I didn't realize that side of the story.
Yeah, it's, let's see. The executives sold, in violation of the Securities Exchange Act of 1934, they sold roughly $5 million worth of shares when it was at their peak right before they released Battlefield 4, and it was broken.
Holy shit. Like, I actually, like, I've only been kind of browsing those headlines and following the story about how broken the game is, and I wasn't really, it really wasn't adding up without looking at the details as far as, like, so how are shareholders suing them over the quality of the game? Like, I thought it was more getting into a, you release an unfinished product and, you know, our profits aren't as big as they should be because you know, falsely led the consumers or something along that line. But apparently
no, they just pumped up the game and said how awesome it was. And the executives, you know, they've got stock options or whatever, and then they sell all these stock options off right before they released the game and the stock tanks.
Damn.
So that one kind of blew me away.
Yeah, that's
that was the big one I read about recently. So
I don't know. Yeah, EA, man. Like, so, you know, they're notorious for winning the dumbass award as far as the worst company in America? Is it a worst company in the world, right?
I think it was worst company in America, but
because, you know, making video games that anger people is the biggest travesty in all of business, compared to, but anyway. So they've actually, like, since they got their new CEO, he's been trying to try to paint a friendlier image for the company, which has made them actually issue, like, apologies for, actually, they kind of apologized for the quality of Battlefield a little bit later, but, like, even when they released the new NBA Live, they apologized for the quality of that, and just trying to, like, at least put some sort of personal front on some of their business practices. But they keep releasing, this year more than any, they've released, like, broken, unfinished, you go back to SimCity, just games with a lot of problems, and it has not been a good year for them. And just Battlefield 4 wasn't ready, and they still, I don't know, it's
they pushed it out. But didn't NBA Live get 1 star on Giant Bomb?
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to make sure, like, I just glanced at it and then closed the window, and
this is their, I think, their first release in that series for at least 3, if not 4 years. So it's basically a foundational game that is barely playable. You know, it wasn't, I don't think anybody really had high hopes for that game. That's the difference between that and the Battlefield story. But
yeah,
but man, like, I don't, something is messed up with their, they just can't hit their yearly release cycles. Kind of like, you know, say what you will about Activision and Ubisoft, but they've at least got, they've got their production pipeline figured out.
Yeah.
And
So I mean,
it's troubling.
That one really jumped out at me. So I know we're going to get into the Xbox One in a little bit, but some of the other articles, you know, I was almost ready to swap over to the PlayStation 4 from the reviews of the Xbox One. I was just like, and I just turned it on because I said its name.
Awesome.
So anyway, I was about ready to swap because I'm like, man, these reviews are not sounding good. This isn't good. But I went ahead and got it. And I don't know if it was the system update that I had to download or whether all of the reviewers from all of the sites ate a lot of paint chips or what, but
I still don't know which way you're going to go with this yet. So
the reviews were hugely overly harsh.
Okay.
So I've got to assume that they had a vastly different system or something, because one thing that kept popping up was, oh, I can't figure out the voice commands. If you don't say anything for a minute, it brings up a menu and it highlights
the words,
all of the voice, the words you can say on the screen. And it's kind of like, I'm sorry, what do you mean you don't understand how this works? I don't know. So I think that some of the reviews on that were either hugely overly harsh, or they fixed a lot between the reviews right at release, where people had pre-release or preview copies, and when consumers got their hands on them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of stayed away from a lot of the console reviews. Just, one, I'd made up my mind as a consumer, and I also know I'm going to get both.
Yeah.
And, two, just the concept of... There was just something really weird about just, we're going to review this console, and we're going to give it a score. Like, first week of its release, I was like, you know, this is like... Other than it just getting out the door, that's the milestone, that these things shipped it all, and they shipped enough to sell 2 million consoles a piece, and that's the feat. Like, these consoles will be unrecognizable in 3 to 4 years. So, like, I don't really care too much. You know, as long as you're not red ringing on day one, and my bar's kind of low for,
well,
you can't really judge this thing, and it works. And so, you know, when I kind of took in the reviews, it's just like, I did see a lot of bias. Like, you could tell right away where the review was going, but I thought it was kind of split as far as, you know, you had some guys that said that weren't passing judgment, and then you had the ones on either camp, and it basically, I took nothing from it because I couldn't discern anything. So, I was like, oh, I guess we'll just see when, you know, one of us gets it, and I'll talk to people that actually use it. But the thing that stuck out with me, and we've talked quite a bit about the PlayStation 4 on this site, so I'm excited to talk to you about the Xbox One. But the thing that stood out to me was people saying that PlayStation 4 is a great console for the year 2013, and the Xbox One has some features that might be from the future.
Yeah.
So.
That's funny. I hadn't heard that.
And I know you were pretty frustrated for the first hours or so that you had the machine trying to get your day one update downloaded, but...
Well, their instructions were really unclear, and I always feel bad giving Xbox support a hard time on Twitter, because they're always really helpful.
Yeah.
And I eventually got it figured out, and I was like, hey guys, listen, I'm sorry I'm taking this out on you. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you're just trying to help me fix it. But I wasn't... I had to physically download a patch on a USB stick and then do some machinations with the buttons on the machine in order to get to boot from the flash drive. And, you know, once that happened, it was a piece of cake. And then there's a 650 megabyte operating system patch, which is like, you know, a half an operating system that... It took, I don't know, 20 minutes to download or something. But once that happened, it went pretty smoothly.
Cool.
Well,
we'll get to games that a little bit later. Is there anything else headlines-wise?
Well, the one thing that's kind of come up, a couple people I talk with on Twitter really sort of were getting pretty worked up about both the Machinima and... Is it RPG? They're supposed to be monetizing people's streams on YouTube, and their contracts. And, you know, I finally said, look, you know, I'm happy to look at these because this doesn't sound right to me. But I guess there are some terms that, at least colloquially, don't seem to be legal, like this contract with a company in perpetuity, or changing the terms of the contract unilaterally when it's actually a negotiated contract.
Is this all the copyright claim stuff? Is this all the
no? This is separate. These are like the you know, I don't really know a whole lot about this, but the people like Machinima who mm-hmm. will pay somebody who streams stuff
mm-hmm.
based on how many views they get and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But I guess their contracts are pretty onerous.
Interesting.
It's not the first time I've heard that, but I'm still sort of looking into it, and it's not something where I read an article about it. It was just sort of word of mouth, and I was like, huh, okay.
I'll have to dig into that. I haven't, like, it's been overshadowed by all the kind of copyright changes and that have been going on in YouTube the last couple weeks. But a lot of that is centered around some of these networked sites getting copyright hits that they weren't getting before because Google changed their who gets notified for these content ID matches for copyrighted material, which usually includes gameplay. And it was affecting sites like Machinima, but they did get me kind of thinking that, like, sites like that have a network of broadcasters and a network of contributors, like, I've never really even thought through what their, you know, what their contracts look like with those individual channels. And if you're saying it's messed up, that wouldn't surprise me, because Machinima was one of those first ones to really kind of jump out in front. So I'm sure for a while there, people were just happy to be on the station and probably signed some pretty self-defeating contracts.
Yeah, one of the guys was like, well, I don't want to pay an attorney $150 or $250 up front. I'm like, well, how much time and money are you losing screwing around? Other than that, I mean, the only other thing I've got is the game The Novelist, which I saw when it came up on Kickstarter, and I've got a snooze where it snoozes a website for like a week.
Uh-huh.
And I kept snoozing it, and now it's out and being reviewed, and I'm kind of like, oh man, I meant to back that.
The game's out and you meant to kickstart it?
Yeah. So
yeah, those Kickstarters only last like 30 days, man.
Yeah, so I think I hit the snooze for like, I don't know, 2 months, 3 months, something like that.
That's funny. I've actually read a little bit about The Novelist, but just got done playing Gone Home, which has people been comparing it to that. So I'd be kind of be curious, really, what you would think of that game if you played through it. And then, I don't know, so it kind of cooled me on playing The Novelist, because I like those interactive stories, but I need to space them out.
Yeah, sure. I mean, heck, I had to space out my time with Walking Dead Season 1.
Oh, man. I am not emotionally ready to handle Season 2 yet, but we'll get there. I don't need to play it for the end of the year this year, so I'm going to probably wait till January to jump in there, but I still need to play the 900 Days expansion first of that, so, or that chapter. So, let's see here. I'm just looking over some headlines that I have marked recently. Like I said, the big story's been YouTube just changing their copyright, their content ID scanner to hit more people, and some channels are getting hit with copyright claims that are just bogus, and affects a lot of people that make their living off of YouTube. In theory, it does kind of affect us, but we don't really necessarily. This is kind of our passion project more so than our job. So
yeah.
But how that stuff shakes out will influence a lot of what we can and can't broadcast in the future. And not really sure where all that's going.
There's a musician that I like who also writes for the Escapist magazine, and he got a copyright notice takedown from the company on behalf of himself by the company who, I don't know, does something with publicizing his music. So basically he got a copyright takedown for stuff he put up from himself.
Yeah. There are a couple of those, and it's just like your system is. Oh, and there was also, with that one in particular, he had a Twitter exchange with the company that claimed it for him. It's whoever, like, helps him digitally distribute his music.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty humorous exchange in that they essentially said, he's like, I want everybody to be able to use my music. How can you make that happen? He's like, can you write us an email with all the names of all the people that you would like to have the rights to use your music? He's just like,
All of
everybody,
them.
what is your problem?
Yeah, that was something else, and I was kind of doubly tickled by that because I just sort of randomly found that guy. Coop had never heard of him, so then I introduced him to Coop, and it's just been was sort of interesting to be like, oh crap, he writes for The Escapists. I didn't know that.
Let's see what else has been going on. Apparently, Kevin Smith slammed YouTube in that copyright crackdown. That's a headline straight from Polygon. There's got to be something else that's been going on here. Did you want to say anything about your article from earlier this week while I dig through?
Oh, Jesus. I'm not going to go all the way into it. You can read the article if you want. But a local news affiliate posted something online about how video games almost killed this guy. Long story short, he laid in bed without moving, playing games for like 4 days straight, and got deep vein thrombosis. So he got clots in his legs, and he ignored all the pain and numbness from this for 2 days. So I kind of took them to task for horrible journalism and correlation for causation and scare tactics, and really haven't gotten a response from them. But it was like I said this at some point, but the source for this article, because I never would have found it, like reading news on a local website or, a local TV affiliate website, but it was your fiance who just sends me a G chat and says, you should run with this. And I looked at it and just responded, oh, fuck.
Still, yeah. They always take this if they can take the spin to attack games, they will do that first. Gets those clicks, man. Yeah, I mean, Cole and I covered quite a bit. We covered the VGXs last week. The Walking Dead being back is a bit big news for this week, but really,
Yeah.
as we get to the end of the year here, there's not too much going on. Ridiculous Fishing won Apple's App Store Best of 2013 awards. Pretty excited about. I love that game. So, and then there's a new free-to-play Star Wars game coming out called Star Wars Attack Squadrons, which, we got some starship battles going on, and I want a new TIE fighter, so I will check that out, even though it won't be anything close to that, most likely. And then Nintendo had their they had a Nintendo their Nintendo Direct this week, and what, Dr. Luigi's coming out. They're doing a Legend of Zelda Dynasty Warriors thing, and it's just, I don't know, Mario Kart 8. Just Nintendo still just doing their thing, kind of out of touch with everything else that is going on. But, I've played a lot of Nintendo in the last 6 weeks, so I'm still trying to find that thing to latch on to in 2014 for a reason to keep my Wii U out of my closet. But they didn't show anything this week anyway, so.
I've given up. Like it's not like it's too easy of a target. It's just I don't understand what they're doing anymore. And it was sort of like Super Mario Sunshine was weird enough as it was, but those levels where you would go and it's like this big rotating thing with sort of Lego blocks, and I just remember looking at that going, this is really weird.
I love
And
it. There's so much
I feel
more of
like,
that in Mario 3D World. It's ridiculous.
yeah, I just feel like that has completely taken over the entire company. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
All right, let's get to the games. So you got an Xbox One.
I did.
What have
I
you been
did get
playing
an
on?
Xbox One.
What have you been playing on it?
So obviously I got Battlefield 4, which I like better than Ghosts. I got Ghosts, and the difference between Ghosts and Black Ops 2 is really stark, and I like the maps better, but I wasn't real sure how I felt about that.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the Battlefield multiplayer. The Battlefield single player is terrible. The story doesn't even make sense.
I wonder what you would have thought of... did you play Battlefield 3's single player at all?
No.
I'd heard decent things about Battlefield 4's single player, so...
It was okay. It was just... the story made no sense at all. I wasn't a big fan of the kind of lack of customization.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, I got Battlefield 4. Multiplayer's kind of fun. I'm still feeling my way through that because I've never played Battlefield, not back to like Battlefield 2.
I guess it's a bad time to talk about it since that game's so broken. But you kind of got back into Call of Duty in the last 2 years, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of curious, like, how you felt about the Battlefield formula, having been a bit heavy into Call of Duty.
There are things I like about it a lot better. I was not real crazy about some of the really cramped, at least in Black Ops 2, some of the really cramped levels,
mm-hmm.
Where it was just super fast twitch, and it was kind of like, it felt like GoldenEye with proximity mines on, I can't remember what the level is, but the one where you could, on Facility, there we go.
Yeah, I have nightmares about those levels.
Yeah,
anything involved, you know what I mean, mines. Like,
people know every play, like every shadow to hide in, and so I like the scope of the maps in Battlefield,
mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's a little bit less gimmicky,
mm-hmm.
but I guess I'm sort of, like I said, I'm sort of still feeling my way.
Okay.
And the Battlefield server system it's very PC. It's just not friendly. To console at all. It's like, hey, here's a list of 75 servers
I've also heard
names that don't make any sense. Okay, thanks.
I've also heard, though, that the new consoles, and I haven't really tried on the PS4, but they both kind of suck as far as getting a party together and playing with your friends and just getting into games. It's like, especially compared to the 360.
Kind of haven't really dug into it yet, partly because I don't know a whole lot of people who have an Xbox One, or at least that I play with. So I don't have a whole lot of comment on that, other than some dude jumped into my Dead Rising 3 game earlier today, and he was trying to give me a teddy bear, and was just really...
Awesome.
It was weird. He was wearing a Lego Man head, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. And I just
have you
zombies at him.
How much Dead Rising have you played before Dead Rising 3? Because it's a quirky fucking game.
I had the first one.
Okay.
And I played a lot of that. I'd never played the second one. Mainly because it sounded cool, and then it was sort of like, hey, the building things mechanic is neat, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm only three hours maybe into this one. It's fun. It's Dead Rising. I mean, the map is impressively big. I don't have a whole lot to say about it yet.
Okay.
The building mechanic is neat. I don't think that I have quite the mindset to keep in mind, like, oh, I should have this, this, and this always, at all times so I can build a...
Oh, you mean the weapon combos. I was like...
Yeah.
Are you building... Yeah, I was like...
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing building buildings? And they've got weapon combos, they've got vehicle combos, that's where that stuff starts getting nuts, and... I've actually never... I liked what Dead Rising 1 was doing, but, like, a lot of its... a lot of how it was set up and kind of put me off as far as having that absolute timer and events happening at certain times and you just having a limited amount of time in the world, and it just I just wanted to get out there and kill as many zombies in creative ways as possible, and it sounds like Dead Rising 3 is kind of setting the stage to let you do that a little bit more. Like, the you can still kind of do that timed mode, but you have to, you know, you have to choose it from the menu or, like, up your difficulty. So Dead Rising 3, to me, has just... That has been the only... The closest thing either console has to a console seller. And but I still think it was slightly held back a little bit.
Yeah, it does have some... It still maintained that story mode. They still have this whole, like, hey, you can restart from the beginning with all your upgrades. Like, hey, if you get to a part that's too hard, like, not like you beat the game and then want to start over. Like, hey, you get to level 7, not that it's set up in levels, but if you get up to level 7 and it's too hard, just start over and then you can build your stats up again. And I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know, just
it's been fun so far. Like, I like combining a steamroller and a sedan and suddenly having, like, a turret on top of my car. That makes a lot more fun, where you can just take down, like, these, just mow down this highway full of zombies.
Yeah, it didn't really strike me as a, I don't know, a game that would be completely in your wheelhouse, but I was kind of curious what you'd think. So as you play more, we'll check in on you. Anything else you want to say Xbox One wise?
I downloaded Killer Instinct and sort of worked my way through the tutorial just to check it out. And I was like, wait a minute. I know you guys gave this to me free, but you want me to pay you $20 for a fighting game? Like, I can turn the Xbox 360 on and play Street Fighter 2 Alpha or whatever the hell I have. Like, this is not... I'm not paying you $20 for this. No matter how awesome the nostalgia of Combo Breaker is...
I've spent, like, $200 on fighting games in the last 2 years, so you're... $20 sounds like nothing for a new Killer Instinct.
Yeah, just I think their
pricing structure is really messed up with, like, buying it per character. But did you like? I mean, as far as the presentation and how it felt, did you at least get an opinion of that besides the pricing model?
Not. I mean, frankly, not really. Like, okay. I said, I only screwed around with the tutorial mode.
Okay.
I don't know how much innovation you do with a fighter. You know, the animation seems smooth. It's three punches, three kicks, you know, high and low, and then there's attacks and special attacks and shadow special attacks, which, the mechanic that they took from the redone Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
You had the bars, finisher. The power-up bars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, it seems
we're the,
like it's all they put.
We're the like least educated people will be talking about fighting games. I feel like in 2013.
Yeah, we really are. I mean, like if we wanted to talk, I did just watch the video of the completed.
I think
Project M, but that was it.
I think if you were at all interested in a fighting game, you need to go back and play Injustice, and I believe. I know that came out for PS4. They might still release
it. I almost bought that.
You would like the story mode of that game.
Well, I will tell you what I bought instead of Injustice. I bought Syndicate.
Okay. Let's. I still need to play this game, so tell me how awesome Syndicate is.
No, you don't.
What?
Do not.
Who are you? Damn it, you ruined my dreams again.
Oh, dude.
You don't like Syndicate?
They put... The weapons were okay. Actually, I take that back. The weapons were pretty good. They felt solid. The story's all right. You know, all the mechanics are there, but they put lens flare on everything. I mean, like, you'd be in a dark room and come around a corner and...
You're like, just dreading the new Star Wars movies, aren't you?
You couldn't see anything. Like... A light bulb in a room would white out the entire screen. It was...
You just don't understand style.
Somebody put together a BuzzFeed of, like, 100 different screens where the lens flare... Like, there would be lens flare coming from three directions. Yeah, just for Syndicate.
Oh, wow.
It is... I will have to send you the link. It is... and I will... Chat, I will post it to you guys, too, because I know who sent it to me. It is mind-blowing.
See, you could...
It breaks the game.
Okay, wow. That's too bad. I've heard good things about... from people that it didn't break the game for. Too bad there's not a toggle for you to see if there's something more to that game for you.
Here we go. It's Josh Lee. Oh, Syndicate is permanently set to maximum blooms. Spelled with a Z. Here we go.
Watch a man learn to copy and paste. That's too bad.
I'm typing from my phone.
That's one of my regrets from this year, that I didn't go back and play that. Because it actually built up some buzz. Well, I want to say it was a March 2012 release, or like early spring, and just kind of one of those games they just kind of, you know, they just kind of threw it out there, didn't really market it, and it got some buzz around Game of the Year last year. Just like, did you guys play Syndicate?
You probably should play
Syndicate. So there you go.
It was something.
How much time did you put into it? Like, I mean, I understand if it completely distracted.
I played through the entire campaign.
Oh wow!
I mean, I didn't stop playing.
That is a nasty taste in your mouth. That's too bad. That is too bad.
The campaign was fine. It was sort of Deus Ex Human Revolution made more shooter, basically. I did enjoy making people kill their buddies and then explode. That was fun.
Yeah.
Huh.
Damn it.
But yeah, anybody who brought that up in a Game of the Year discussion, somebody should kick him in the nuts. Like, absolutely not.
I like that you have strong opinions. Has anything been making you smile lately?
This is, I think it's 2 years old, but from Zeboid Games, Cthulhu Saves the World. I downloaded that shortly after it came out, and I think I was sort of... I'd finished Syndicate. I wasn't going to download anything else. I wasn't sure if I was going to buy Ghosts. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll play... Oh, no, I started playing it when I was downloading Ghosts. And I was just really, really pleasantly surprised. It is hysterical.
Oh, wow.
And there's... It's very much in the... What's the Final Fantasy for Super Nintendo? Four?
Four and five. Two and three.
Let's not get into that. It's two and three in Japan. Nobody cares.
No, six, yeah, sorry. I'm an idiot. Six. It's four and... It's five and six? Oh, God, whatever. Anyway, six/three is my favorite, so...
Anyway,
it's a 16-bit style RPG.
That style RPG was where I was going with that. But Cthulhu is hysterical.
I need something
really, really funny
else to build up our credibility, the show. I feel like we've been tripping all over ourselves from talking fighting games and talking Final Fantasy numbers. But, Zeboid ended up going on to do the Penny Arcade games for chapters 3 and 4 of that. And they had their other game, but they've really kind of nailed that 16-bit JRPG style. I'll be curious to see where they keep going, but I've only heard great things about Cthulhu Saves the World, but had no idea it was supposed to be that funny. So that's kind of
it's right up my alley in terms of like humor. Like, there's one point where the first person that joins your party is this girl, and you rescue her. And she's like, oh, you wouldn't do that. And he's like, what, are you kidding me? You're not that pretty.
And you're playing as Cthulhu, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's the leader of your party.
That's funny.
Now
tell me about Ghosts. Mr. Call of Duty, tell me about Ghosts.
And I'm saying this with the...
Well, first of all, sorry, did you get on 360? Is that where...
Yeah, I got it on 360.
Okay.
I am not...
You're not upgrading?
I'm not upgrading.
Okay.
The storyline for this one, I liked the story in Black Ops 2. I thought it was pretty cool. I liked the dual storylines, I liked what was going on. Ghost's storyline is almost as dumb as Battlefield 4.
That's not a compliment.
No. I don't know. I guess I just really like Black Ops 2. But I don't know exactly what it is. They changed some of the mechanics between Black Ops 2 and Ghosts, and I think it's just the difference between Treyarch and
Infinity Ward.
Infinity Ward, the style. Mm-hmm. I guess I like Treyarch's better, you know, having compared the two of them. But the levels, I think that they must have taken a hint from Battlefield 3 because the multiplayer levels are much bigger. And I liked them. That was fun.
So are you sticking but with they're... Ghosts multiplayer, or do you still play quite a bit Black Ops 2?
I have not gone back to Black Ops 2 since I got Ghosts. My KD ratio is actually higher on Ghosts than Black Ops. But
was it? I think it was... I apologize to keep bringing this up because I know you have strong feelings about Penny Arcade, but there was a Penny Arcade cartoon, their comic, which I still really enjoy. About the guys playing Call of Duty Ghosts and talking about their KD ratios and just how great everything is, and then hitting the realization that, hey, the teenagers, they have to wait till Christmas until they get their new Xbox Ones. So you're playing against a bunch of other dads right now.
That actually might be it. That might totally sum it up. So far it's early. I like the Xbox One. I think I like the controller better.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Are you using the voice stuff? And have you messed with the TV stuff?
I use it to turn on. I'm not going to screw around with TV stuff because I've heard I think it's too early. I think they're going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I use the voice stuff sort of navigating.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously when I'm like watching, Netflix or Amazon, it is a big honking piece of machinery.
Mm-hmm.
It's much lighter, but it is at least as big as the original Xbox.
Yeah.
That surprised me. I was like, good Lord.
I heard those Xboxes are big.
The only other thing about it is that I quickly realized is this is the input for the mic.
Yeah.
Which renders my nice Turtle Beach surround sound headphones that I bought for my 360 completely worthless.
Yeah. Was that news to you? I'm sorry if it was.
Yeah. Looked into it, and I was just like, when I got ready to plug them in, I was like, oh, son of a...
Yep. That stuff's we're gonna have to rebuy a lot of things for the next gen, so... Sony's not any better with that stuff either. Let's see... So we're warming up for our Grimmies Game of the Year Awards, and we're gonna shoot out some of our personal Best of the Year lists leading up to that. I was kind of curious as to where your head is looking back on 2013. What's kind of standing out to you now that you've kind of started scanning through your highlights?
Well, the thing that stands out the most to me is the fact that I have still not played BioShock Infinite. That bothers me.
Maybe I should have told you to do that on your way to pick up your Xbox. Like, take care of some unfinished business first. That Xbox,
well,
Xbox One
I
isn't going.
Bought anywhere. The Xbox One with money from a bonus that I wasn't expecting.
But wasn't
so. I'm still getting these Amazon gift cards, which were supposed to supplement my Xbox buying power.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'll just.
But didn't
you
avoid getting BioShock Infinite due to some sort of budget freeze at the time of its release? Is that accurate?
At the time of its release, yeah, no, that's completely accurate.
So, I'm just saying, looking at some of your recent decisions related to, I don't know, Syndicate and Ghosts, that you might have made a few mistakes this year.
It's possible I made some mistakes. I don't know why I got Ghosts instead of BioShock. I really don't.
A reflex purchase.
I think it was on the. I left my list of all the games I played for this year. In general, I'm still going to have to stick with not necessarily doing a top 10 list of 2013 because I played some games from 2012. I didn't play all of the big releases or even all of the big and medium releases. You know, my big win for this year was Saints Row 4, which continues to blow my freaking mind.
That's awesome.
Like, those guys, there's something wrong with the guys at Deep, the guys at Deep Silver. Like, they're my kind of wrong. The scene where you climb the rocket ship and don't want to miss a thing was playing.
The intro.
I lost it. You know, yeah, at the intro, I lost it and like, and dying laughing and run upstairs and tell my wife, who's not a, you know, that kind of gamer, and she thought it was hysterical. So
I have some good news. We're both from the Midwest. If you would ever like to pay the developers Volition a visit, they're just up in Chicago. They're like one of the like beacons of great game development light from the Midwest. I'm sure.
I was going to relax this weekend, but screw that. Let's go to Chicago.
Go stumble around and go drinking with the Volition guys. But yeah, I think they found a good home at. So Volition had a pretty rough last couple years with the THQ buyout, and I think Deep Silver has given them at least a home where they can continue to develop their own kind of crazy. So that was nice to see that land safely, still be Saints Row. I still contend that game is an expansion pack, but it's the best expansion pack. So I'll be curious to see when and how they revisit Saints Row from here on out.
Well, and I've still got to play the Saints Save Christmas.
Yeah, there's three bits of DLC out there now. There's the Dama Matrix one, and I thought there was another one. Like they haven't been all that great, but you add them all up, they're plenty more Saints Row stuff if you're into that.
Yeah, and the I have a list of games I should have bought instead of. I should have bought Far Cry 3 just to play Blood Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I think you can do it standalone, honestly. I think I could be wrong there, but I think you can buy Blood Dragon standalone.
And then, I know, but I want to shoot sharks.
Yeah.
Guilt free.
You have still not been swayed to kill sharks on the open sea of Pirates Creed, have you?
No.
Let me just tell you one thing about. So I've been playing Black Flag, and it just becomes readily apparent that, you know, some creative minds from the Far Cry 3 team were able to influence this game just from the way that the hunting is set up in this world and broken down into very similar fashions that Far Cry 3 is, and that you have to, you know, you go around, you find out where the different animals are, they kind of move around in the world. You kill a couple of them, skin them, use that to upgrade your gear. But you have to kill and harpoon very, very large ocean creatures, which entails basically driving your boat into an area where you see that there are bull sharks or whatever they happen to be. Does a quick cut scene where your captain takes his shirt off and gets into a rowboat. And then they go out with harpoons in this rowboat, and you track down this shark, throw a harpoon in the shark, and that starts just pulling your boat through the ocean while you're trying to kill it by throwing more harpoons at it. And if it breaks free, it'll come back and basically try to attack your boat, and you have this moment where you can still kill the shark, but he's also going to jump up and eat you if you miss. And that is my pitch for Pirates Creed 4.
I feel like I could just, you know, wait till Big Game Hunter, Pirates of the Ocean.
Yeah, whatever Ubisoft, they have to spin this off. They have to, like, break it out of Assassin's Creed because they just spent so much time developing this incredible, you know, open ocean sandbox. And it's kind of limited by its Assassin's Creed-ness. But once you get out there, man, that's some of my favorite gaming of the year. I'm just saying.
Wow. I mean, that's strong praise.
Yeah. Either regrets standing out or
highlights? Any other regrets? I'm trying to think. I don't think I have any other big regrets from this year. That's a lie. There was Aliens Colonial Marines.
Yeah, I'm sorry for you. You probably got hurt the most personally out of that, out of our crew.
Oh,
well, God. You and Josh were pretty invested. I didn't see what you guys were seeing. I was just like, oh, you know, I like an Aliens game, but.
Ew. Oh, that was. That
I think
was
we should make painful. A rule where we're not allowed to bring that game up after this year. We should get through
these. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
it was. Oh. Yeah, so I have this stack of games just chilling out down here that I'm kind of looking at.
I mean, you were yeah. If you were browsing around playing Cthulhu Saves the World, was there any other like indie games or smaller games that stood out to you, good or bad?
I recently downloaded Power Up.
I don't know that one.
Which I can't remember who I saw review it. It might have been an Indie Gamer Chick.
Mm-hmm.
But I may not be right on that. It's a pretty straightforward, like side-scrolling Gradius-style game.
Oh, yeah.
But you already have the ability to shoot in any direction, like you know, the up and down and shooting forward and backward and I don't know, spread or something like that. But you just power all those weapons up. It's not like you have to get one and then change to it. So it's kind of a neat mechanic. It's not super hard, but it's hard enough. You know, and for $2 or whatever the hell I paid for it, totally worth it. So, yeah, Power Up was fun. I still haven't figured out... I still haven't seen the end of Clementine, or not the end of Clementine, but what happens at the end of... Season 1 of The Walking Dead, because I know something emotionally bad happens, and I was like, I can't handle this.
I'm not emotionally ready to step into season 2. Like, I've been through some shit this year with video games, and it started with The Walking Dead last year, but like, I'm like, either game's just beating me up emotionally, or just messing with my head, you know. I do think that you should take some time and play Brothers if you haven't. That would be one of the smaller ones I would recommend for you.
I want to do Brothers. I want to do the one that just came out, the Fairy Tale one. The Telltale.
Oh, the Wolf Among Us.
Wolf Among Us, yes. Yeah.
I really recommend that. We decided that and The Walking Dead, since they're not going to finish until next year, they're not in our Games of the Year discussion. So, but gotcha. Yeah, great first chapter of that game. I think you'd definitely enjoy that. Brothers has been the big one that I've been... Because it's only like a 3-hour game. I'll be just like, everybody kind of needs to play that. It's a shame that the Last of Us is locked away as a PlayStation 3 exclusive, because more people should play that game. That put me through some shit.
Yeah.
I was a wreck during that game. Because this last half of the year I was playing catch-up, and the recurring phrase that I kept using during my live streams was "fuck you, video game," because it was just like, it just kept putting me through a lot, and I love and hate
emotionally
at the same time.
Scarred by games.
Pretty close. It was rough.
When I don't know. Yeah, you're aware of this. I played through both Uncharted 1 and 2, speaking of playing catch-up. So that was an interesting experience. Now, what else emotionally scarred you? you this year with Clementine
Brothers, The Last of Us, BioShock really messed with me too. Kind of in a different way than those. And then I played, I played a bunch of horror games. Outlast and Amnesia were both they both messed with me. And I'm trying to think what else is out there. Luckily, I was playing the new Legend of Zelda game during all this, and that helped make me smile at least. But it was just like, I don't know, the with The Last of Us in particular, like there was a dread of playing the game, but it wasn't. But it was also super enjoyable because of it. It was just like, God, I want this game to end, but please never end. It was just a constant battle. And then so it's gonna be tough for me to like. There's a lot of games that had a lot of resonance with me, but also then comparing those to, and then I think right before that I beat Tomb Raider and they just beat up on Lara the entire time.
Yeah.
That's hard to watch, but also kind of vindicating. But it's just I don't know. And then I've got like pure fun experiences like Devil May Cry, and just like at comparing those experiences, there's a lot more games that kind of poked at you emotionally that I was anticipating, and I tend to gravitate towards those games, so and they tend to leave like a lasting memory, and it's making sense of does that make them a great game or is it just kind of like a great story? And so that's what I'll be kind of struggling with my personal list, and then trying to sort that out to make some sort of argument for some of these games for Grimmie Awards. But
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting year because I played more multiplayer than before, which took up time. So it was 25 games this year instead of 31 from last year. And on top of that, there were some of the like Xbox Live Arcade games that were longer experiences than I think had been in the past. Like I think that sort of really hit maturity this year.
I just feel like this year doesn't have a runaway favorite or a runaway, a standout, just like perfect game. But there are a lot of great games. And it's going to come down to a lot of personal preference. And be really curious to see where we end up. We ended up in a place I didn't expect last year with Mass Effect 3 taking it home. So
Oh, yeah.
I don't really have any predictions because I haven't done my own list yet either, and I'm still trying to fit in a few more indie games before the year gets out. I'm gonna play the Swapper. I think that's up next, and then Mag Runner is still out there. That's another like it's another Cthulhu reference game, just in case you were curious. But yeah, it's been
Wait,
a
which
fun
one is
year. Mag Runner.
which one? Mag Runner is a Cthulhu
It's
reference?
got yeah, it's got like Cthulhu lore in it, but it's kind of futuristic at the same time. So,
Huh.
yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
And then Jordan in chat is kind of reminding me that I'm gonna also have a separate list of my favorite games of 2013 that had nothing to do with being in 2013. Like, cause I played a bunch of Earthbound and Wind Waker and lots of Skyrim and just a lot of games that had nothing to do with this year that I sank a lot of time into. So, yeah, I'm anxious to just sit down and sort this out and then fight it out with the rest of our crew. So,
Yeah, this should be an interesting year, I think. I will say that I think the hands down best expansion pack this year was for Mass Effect 3. I think the Citadel expansion pack was outstanding.
Oh, I don't think I ever went back to play it, so.
Oh, it's really cool.
I've heard good things about the XCOM expansion, Blood Dragon sitting out there, Burial at Sea for BioShock got some rough reviews. I'm trying to think what else stands out from that expansion side, but Borderlands 2 just keeps releasing stuff. if they had to do best quantity of DLC, that might win the award.
I mean, they still clog up my Twitter feed.
Yeah.
I'm just like, dude, okay.
All right. I think, you know, I think that's going to do it for tonight. I feel like I know where your head's at. We're going to get to voting here behind the scenes, and then we'll figure out if we can't get you to drop in on our Grimmies podcast. We're still kind of sorting out those details, seeing who's available, who's got the games to talk about, and that kind of thing. So,
I'm glad you know where my head's at, because I'm not sure. I wrote an introductory paragraph for my Grimmies or for my games, and I was like, okay, I gotta figure this out. I don't know where I'm going with this.
And for everybody else, be safe out there. The Steam sale started, so I think the next podcast you're going to catch all of us on is our Game of the Year discussion, which will be happening the first weekend of January. We'll put more details up on the site, but it's going to be 6, 8, 10 hours straight of going through all of our Grimmie Awards and finding it out to see who gets the Game of the Year. So we're looking forward to it. We'll see you then. Catch you next time.